ते वासुदेवाय। ओ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, Text 13. Chandavega iti kyato Gandharva dipatir nirpa Gandharvastasya bhalina Shastyutara shatatrayam Chandavega iti kyato Gandharva dipatir nipa Gandharvastasya balina Shastyutara shatatrayam. Chandavega iti kyato Gandharva dipatir nirpa Gandharvastasya bhalina Shastutara shatatrayam Chandavegariti kyato Gandharva dipatir nirpa Gandharvastasya bhalina Shastyutara shatatrayam. Mothers. Chandavega iti kyato Gandharva dipati nirpa Gandharvastasya bhalina Shastyutara shatatrayam. Chandavegariti kyato Gandharvadhipati nirpa Gandharvastasya bhalina Shastyutara shatatrayam. Chandavega Chandavega iti thus kyata celebrated Gandharva belonging to the Gandharva Loka Adipati King Nirpa O King Gandharva other Gandharvas Tasya his Balina very powerful soldiers Shashti, 60, Uttara, surpassing, Shata, 100, Trayam, 3. Translation in Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai. Translation, O King, in Gandharva Loka, there is a king named Chandavega. Under him, there are 360 very powerful Gandharva soldiers. Purport. Time is figuratively described here as Chandavega. Since time and tide wait for no man, time is herein called Chandavega, which means very swiftly passing away. As time passes, it is calculated in terms of years. 1 year contains 360 days, and the soldiers of Chandavega herein mentioned represent these days. Time passes swiftly. Chandavega's powerful soldiers of Gandharva Loka very swiftly carry away all the days of our life. As the sun rises and sets, it snatches away the balance of our lifespan. Thus, as each day passes, each one of us loses some of life's duration. It is therefore said that the duration of one's life cannot be saved. But If one is engaged in devotional service, his time cannot be taken away by the sun. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 3rd Chapter, Text 17, Aryur Haritivai Pumsam Udhyan Astam Chayanaso. The conclusion is that if one wants to make himself immortal, he should give up sense gratification. By engaging oneself in devotional service, one can gradually enter the eternal kingdom of God. Mirages and other illusory things are sometimes called Gandharvas. Our losing our lifespan is taken as advancement of age. This imperceptible passing away of the days of life is figuratively referred to in this verse as Gandharvas. As explained in later verses, such Gandharvas are both male and female. This indicates that both men and women lose their lifespan imperceptibly by the force of time, which is herein described as Chandavega. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyanta Mirandasha Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Litamina Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitamina Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kaputurubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyarevacha Patita Nampavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. In yesterday's verse, we were hearing about apriya and priya. Priya means that which is dear to a person. Like kintu parburya priya evatasya. Priya means something or someone that's dear. So we were hearing about yesterday for Puranjana. Puranjana represents the conditioned soul. So what is dear for the conditioned soul is sense gratification. So the word was used yesterday was Priya Yoshitam, which refers to attachment to women. So what is dear for the conditioned soul is sense gratification. And the epitome of the expression of that dear desire comes in the union with the object of sex desire, by which he gets more and more bewildered in the material world. From there, everything expands. Srila Prabhupada saw that everything we perceive in the material world is an expansion of sex desire. So, an expansion of that illusory desire. So then, for such a person, what is not there, apriya, what is not there, are the actual conditions of this material world. Jama, mrityu, jara, vyadi. The actual conditions of this material world impede and terminate his dear desires. So then those things are not dear. Jama mritu jwar vyadi. And along with that, so many threefold miseries. Those things are not dear. So as a result of having these dear desires for sense gratification and a reality which is creating conditions which are not dear, the living entity is always in misery, always lamenting, constantly. So Prahlad Maharaj just says this, Yasmat priya priya viyoga samyoga janma shokakni na sakalayoni shu dahyamana duko shadam tarapi duka matadiyaham bhumam brahmami vadamenta vadasya yoga. So he's praying to Lord Nrisingadev that the living entity is Yasmat priya apriya viyoga samyoga janma. So he's taking birth in this material world and priya samyoga. So he says, this is the situation in the material world. That he comes in contact, that which is dear to him, he is separated from that. And that which is not dear to him, he is brought together with that. That is the condition of the material world. And of course, when we advance, we make this problem more acute. Like you have to work 12 hours a day, for example. So that which is supposed to be dear to you, like family and so on. Of course, anyway, Kali Yuga, you can give, I don't know, what is the situation, but... You know, generally, let's say, take it for granted, like somebody want, like wife and children, all these things which are very dear. Then you have to be separated from that and work at the workplace for 12 hours, which is not dear. So the advancement of modern civilization makes this problem more acute. But this is actually the condition of the material world. That which is dear to us, we are separated from that. And that which is not dear for us, we are brought together with that. So he says, Prahlad Maharaj says, Shokagnina sakala yonishu dahyamana. Sakala yonishu means this is true for everyone across the board. In all species of life and all conditions of life, whether rich, poor, etc. For everyone, this is the condition. Being brought together with that which is not dear and being separated from that which is dear. So what is the experience? Shoka agnina dahyamana. Their hearts are always burning in the fire of lamentation. Then he says, dukoshadam tarapi dukam. They try to come up with a remedy for their solution, but their remedies are more problematic than the original problem. Like, for example, which I've already given, the modern civilization. So people, like we were hearing yesterday, they go to the scientists for improving their condition. But then the solutions that are being offered are generally, always the case, more problematic than the original problem. And even if they present comfortable situations, that's usually only for a small minority. And for the vast majority, their solutions are very burdensome and very miserable. You know, for getting all the fancy things that we can play with now, like our computers and iPhones and all these things, the resources that are required to build these things generally aren't found in America. So you have to find them in other places to get those resources. And those other places, it's not like they're usually so willing to just, okay, take it, you can have it. So then they have their wars. It's like I remember reading an article last year about how America found untapped resources in Afghanistan. I was always wondering, because I don't keep up with the political situation so much, but I knew that there was war going on in Afghanistan. I was like, why are they having war in Afghanistan? I thought it was Iran at first. Where is it? Iran? It started off with Iran, right? Or Iraq? Iraq? So I was, then the next time I saw the Yahoo thing, it was Afghanistan. So I was like, how did they switch over to Afghanistan, you know? And then later on, I found this article, America Discovers Untapped Resources in Afghanistan, as if it was their position to tap that, as if that is their position to go and find untapped resources and exploit that for their own sense gratification. So then it made sense to me, okay, now they're having war because there's so many resources they probably require for building their solutions, which are only solutions for a minority, and the vast majority would have to suffer tremendously. Like, how many people have died in the war from Iraq? So many people, huh? Over a million, no? And how many from the American side? Just like a couple of thousand. So the duko shadam tarapi dukam. So their solutions are always more problematic than there actually are solutions. But people have faith in the scientists, so they're going to them for protection from the various miserable conditions created by the reality of this material world, which is separating them from the things which are dear to them, namely their sensual desires. So unfortunately, they don't realize that no one can give protection in this material world. It is not possible for anyone to give protection. And when I was meditating on this, I remembered the section from the first canto, 13th chapter, where Yudhishthira Maharaj is lamenting the departure of his uncles, Vidura and Dhritarashtra, and his aunt, Gandhari. Her name is Gandhari, right? Gandhari. So there, Yudhishthira Maharaj is all distressed because he was maintaining them very nicely. He was giving them protection. And then, you know, by Vidura's powerful preaching, Dhritarashtra left. For his self-realization. So Yudhishthira shows up and they're all gone, so he begins lamenting. And then Narada Muni, expert as he is, always appears right at the perfect time. We may not usually have that experience with the spiritual master. He sends a mail right at the perfect time, you know. But Narada Muni is like that. He just shows up right at the perfect time. And Yudhishthira Maharaj offers some words of respect very quickly. Then he gets straight to his question, you know, why does this have to happen to me? It's very quick. You're like the captain of the ship that can help us cross over the material existence. You know, one verse, and then he asks this question. So then Narada Muni's preaching to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He wants to explain to him that no one in this world can give protection to anyone, actually. They're going to the scientists for their protection, you know, from the miserable condition of the material world. Faith in science, you know, and there he went to a thing yesterday called faith in science. Then, and the whole idea of these things is to basically break your faith in religion and make you faithful in science. And we can protect you. We can offer so much protection. So Narada Muni's preaching to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he wants to explain to him that actually no one in this material world can offer anyone any protection. So there's a verse there that is mentioned in that regard. Kala karma guna dino Dehoyam pancha bhoktika. Katam anyans tu gopayat sarpograsto yataparam. This is a cool verse. I had learned it a long, long time ago. He says that this body made of five elements, Dehoyam pancha bhoktika. He said it's under the control of kala, karma, and guna. It is under the control. So the idea here is that if you're under the control of someone else, how can you give protection? This is the idea here. If you're under the control of someone else, how are you able to give protection? So he's saying that this body, which will be used to protect others, it's under the control of kala, karma, and guna. So Prabhupada explains there, very beautifully in the purport, how all the living entities are performing activities. Let's say we're performing various activities to give ourselves and our loved ones protection. So that's called karma. We're doing various activities because we want to protect our loved ones, protect ourselves. He says, but all those activities are being carried out under the gunas. So then for those who are in the lower gunas of nature, passion and ignorance, their activities can do no good for anyone. Activities and passion are always bewildering. They create confusion. And activities and ignorance give the reverse position of the actual solution. You know, the actual solution would be worship Krishna. And ignorance, you will give another idea. Just like, who was it, Glenn? He was on the train the other day, and he saw a sign that said, essentially the sign said, so many unanswered questions in religion, do humanitarian work. And that's a mode of ignorance poster. You know, that's a mode of ignorance poster. So many unanswered questions in religion. You know, basically, are you frustrated with that? So many unanswered questions in religion. It's very frustrating. Do humanitarian work, you know, be practical. And the mode of ignorance. So then those who are in the lower gunas of nature, their activities are either causing more and more confusion for society, or they're giving them solutions that are the reverse of the actual solution because they're in ignorance. So then Prabhupada says, so then if they're in goodness, then their activities may be favorable to some degree. They're in goodness. But then kala is a problem. That even if you're in goodness, kala, which is compared to a snake, sarpogrosto, the snake of time will see to it that all such good programs are finally destroyed. So if someone really wants to give protection to anyone, they have to be able to stop the time factor if they're going to be able to give any protection to anyone. Because time brings forward everything in our life. We have some karmas that are needing to fructify, and they can only fructify when time begins to move. The modes of nature around us are moving because of time. So all the good and bad experiences we are meant to have are being delivered to us by time, actually. If we are meant to have money, it is time which is delivering the money, right? If we are meant to lose money, it is time that is taking it away. If we're meant to fall in love, you know, everything is very nice, starry moon night and all these things like that, nice music in the background, then it is time that is delivering that situation. And then if it is time for, the breakup to happen, it is time that is causing that. So if someone really wants to do good for anyone, they should be able to stop the time factor. They must be able to stop time. That is Narada Muni's preaching. He points out, so how can anyone give protection when they're being bitten by the jaws of the snake of time? No one can do so. So then it is simply illusory that anyone can give us protection in this material world but Krishna. That's the idea. So then here that same Kala Sarpa is being represented by Chandavega, the king Chandavega. And he has many warriors. His warriors are called Gandharvas, and they represent the days and night. What's interesting about this is that the days and night are stealing away our life. These warriors are actually imperceptibly and perceptibly stealing away our life. It's both simultaneously, because it's being mentioned here also imperceptibly, but actually everyone can see the days and nights passing by. Everyone can see it. It's not like a very miraculous event. You know, we just like Prabhupada was saying in previous purport, the day rises, and then the sun sets in its night, and then the next day the sun is rising again. And he was like, but no one thinks what is going on when this is happening. So it is both perceptible and imperceptible simultaneously. So these warriors of Chandavega, time, these warriors are perceptible and imperceptible. An enemy is more, I say, worse than a whole phalanx, a whole army, is one spy. once by his words in a whole phalanx of army. Prabhupada was teaching that earlier on in the fourth canto in Preeti Maharaj's Lila. So these, when you are dealing with an imperceptible enemy, then that is the most dangerous type of enemy. Because you feel that you are okay, you feel you're in a safe condition, there's nothing going on, nothing wrong, and the enemy is imperceptible. So time is actually, it's imperceptible in one sense, but it's right in our face happening every day. So there's Pashana Pina Pashati, seen but not seen. This verse comes in the beginning of the Bhagavatam about how persons who are devoid of Atma Tattva and attached to wife, home, children, etc., they never inquire into the actual goal of life, being bewildered by the fallible soldiers. Although seeing their ultimate demise, they don't see it. Pashana Pina Pashati means they see it, but they don't see it. So this is the marvelous effect of the time factor. And there's a reason why it's not seen, as this verse I'm quoting is pointing out. Tesham pramato nindadam pashana pina pashati. Because they are bewildered by deha, patra, kalatradishu, the body, the wife, etc. This body, wife, home, children, etc., opulences, kingdom, they are called as the Gandharva Nagara. This is, Prabhupada says here in the purport, mirages and other illusory things are sometimes called Gandharvas. So there's a such thing, I mean, I've never had this experience, but it's mentioned in the sixth canto, about a Gandharva Nagara, which means like a palace in the forest, an illusory palace in the forest, like a phantasmagoria. Apparently, just like when one imagines water in a mirage, because he's in a desert, so he's very thirsty, he's in need of water, so he starts to imagine that there's water there, and then he tries to pursue it. In the same way, the idea of the analogy is presented in the sixth canto, that a person is in the forest. When you're in the forest, you need shelter, right? It's very, anyone, maybe none of us have this experience, but being in a forest is very scary, because there are a lot of dangerous animals walking around, especially at nighttime. Nighttime is very fierce, because you can't even see your hand in front of your face, and you hear all these various sound vibrations. It's very scary. Therefore, you have to be very advanced to practice yoga. They have all these stupid yoga studios now. But to be a real yogi, you should be able to go to the forest. But try to imagine, you go to the forest, it's so pitch black, you can't even see your hand in front of your face. If you try to sit down and meditate, you know, how you would be peaceful, as soon as you sit down, then you hear, you become very nervous, you know, you become uncomfortable. Okay, Krishna will protect, Super Soul is there. You know, you try to, you know, meditate, and then, okay, it sounds a little bit far, but then you hear something moving around in the bushes. You cannot do it. No one can do it in Kali Yuga. It'd be an impossible task. Therefore, do it in your yoga studios in the city. Plenty of lights and plenty of people in without proper clothing to keep you distracted. That's why I was recommending, you cannot do real yoga in the age of Kali. It is impossible. Forest is very scary. So if you're lost in the forest, you need shelter. Especially if you're not a yogi. If you're just an ordinary person and you get lost in the forest, you need shelter. So apparently, for persons who are lost in the forest for a long, long time, then they start to imagine that there's a house in the distance that can give them shelter. Because that's what they need, right? They need shelter. Just like a person in the desert needs water, so a person in the forest needs shelter. So he starts to imagine, oh, there's a house in the distance. And then that house keeps his energy engaged in pursuing it. Only problem with that house is that it is a source of all his misery. Of course, he's in a miserable condition itself. But because he's imagining that the house can give him shelter when it actually cannot, then that house becomes a source of misery, becomes a source of fear, a source of bewilderment. He keeps chasing after the house and it keeps getting far away from him. And even if he happens to get close to the house, then he knocks on the door of the house and then it all vanishes in front of him. So he becomes more and more bewildered. He begins to lament. This is called the Gandharva Nagara, apparently. Hopefully we don't have to have that experience, let's say, in our waking life now. But actually, every living entity is having that experience right now, conditioned souls. The Gandharva Nagara means that which one is thinking can give him shelter. So that Gandharva Nagara refers to things like the wife, the husband, the home, the cat and dogs, or the elephants in Vedic culture. I guess they kept elephants, the cows, the cars, etc. These are all Gandharva Nagaras, something that we're thinking can give us shelter. And instead of giving us shelter, they're actually all the same. They look variegated. It looks like I have a house, and I have a wife and kids and husband. It looks variegated, but actually they're all the same in that they're all temporary and that they're all sources of misery. So they're actually all the same. They're not different. They're all sources of misery. So one who tries to take shelter of them, that's what this verse on the Bhagavatam is saying. They call them fallible soldiers. They're constituents of the Gandharva Nagara. So we spend all of our energy trying to take shelter of these things, but then they disappear from our vision, just like the house in the forest. We go and try to take shelter of it, and as we're getting close, it disappears from our vision. So when it's there, when it forms, it's a source of jubilation, and when it disappears, it's a source of bewilderment and lamentation. So in the same way, so many things are appearing and disappearing in our life. It says mirages and other illusory things are sometimes called Gandharvas. So these various situations we come to in our life with children and all these things, friends, society, friendship, and love, summarized in that way. They're all Gandharva Nagaras. When they appear in front of us, they seem to be sources of great happiness. But when they disappear from our vision, then we are bewildered and we lament. And this is going on since time immemorial. The living entity can actually understand this by a little thoughtfulness, but Pashana Pinam Pashati, even though he sees this, he doesn't see it. It's not perceptible. So this is the great weapon of time. This is the great weapon. So Chandavega is the general. He's a king. And his great weapon is the Gandharva Nagara. And time brings forth all these things, the Gandharva Nagara. And then his Gandharvas steal away our time. The time that we could be using for getting ourselves out of this forest of misery, the forest of material enjoyment, that time is stolen away because we're distracted by the Gandharva Nagara, and all his soldiers can come in and then take our life without us even noticing it, even though it's happening right in front of us. Just like a pickpocket, like a really expert pickpocket. I don't have experience, but I used to see so many movies. A really expert pickpocket, he can be talking to you and then picking your pocket, and you don't even notice it because he's so expert, you know? And, you know, he probably does one of them fancy handshakes. I remember seeing one movie, it's tangential, it's connected, before I was a devotee, of he was a pickpocket, he ran into one person, he like bumped into him, but the person he bumped into was a cop who was like expert at pickpocketing. So when he tried to pickpocket him, he put his hand inside a handcuff, you know? I thought that was cool. Anyway, so when you have a real expert pickpocket, they can do something like that. You know, they bump into you, think it's just like a harmless thing, and then you go on the train and your wallet is missing. A very expert pickpocket. So these Gandharvas are like that. They're very expert pickpocket. They're right in front of our face, stealing away our life, but we don't even notice it. And why don't we? It's not that we can't notice it. We don't notice it because we're distracted by the Gandharva Nagara. And that way we don't pay attention. So in this way, Chandavega is a very formidable enemy of the Puranjana soul. Of course, this is only true for the Puranjana, for one who's trying to enjoy this material world. If one isn't trying to enjoy this material world, he doesn't get distracted by the Gandharva Nagara. And therefore, when the Gandharvas of day and night come, he's able to resist their power or their attack of stealing his life by engaging his energy in Krishna consciousness, essentially. Otherwise, our days and nights are passing without us being properly engaged in the Lord's service. So Srila Prabhupada is offering here as a solution. He says here, the conclusion is that if one wants to make himself immortal, he should give up sense gratification. By engaging oneself in devotional service, one can gradually enter into the eternal kingdom of God. So if we are not desirous for sense gratification, then time's weapon, the Gandharva Nagara, cannot bewilder our mind. And as a result, we are able to resist the attack of the Gandharvas by properly engaging our energy in Krishna consciousness. So this verse is quoted from the Bhagavatam, Aryur Hariti Vai Pumsam Udyan Astam Chayanaso Tarsharte Yakshano Nita Uttamashoka Vartaya. So this, both by the rising and the setting, the sun is stealing away the life of everyone. Chandavega and his warriors are stealing away the life of everyone, except for those who tarsharte yakshunonita. They're yakshuno, they're engaging their time and uttama shokavartaya and hearing the glories of Krishna. For those persons, time cannot touch. And the idea is that, well, how is that possible? We see that the body is growing old. It seems that the body is coming under the influence of time. How are you saying that the time doesn't touch such a person? So then that's explained in a couple of ways. The basic idea is that wherever your consciousness is at the time of death, the next state you will attain without fail. So if one is engaging all his time in the glories of Krishna through the angas of bhakti, the nine angas of bhakti, particularly Shravan, Kirtanam, Smaranam, then time factor is just moving him closer toward eternal life. It is actually his assistant. Just like, what is that prayer from Kulashekar? He's saying that, let me leave my body right now, because right now I'm in good consciousness. Now, if I have to wait until I get old, where my voice is choked up with mucus, I don't know where will be my where will my consciousness go at that time. So since now I'm in good consciousness, you know, now I'm in the kirtan and I'm in the katha, let me leave my body now. Just like sometimes devotees do that when they want to leave their bodies. They try to leave their body in the kirtan. You know, and I heard in Vrindavan even, one devotee, he jumped up in the air with Hari Bol, and then his body just came down and collapsed. He left the body just like that. Jayakesh was telling us, and they were in Vrindavan, one devotee went, Hari Bol, and then he just left the body like that. Or Gaur Govinda Maharaj, when he left his body, he disappears from our vision. Then he was giving Jagannath Katha in Mayapur. And then he was giving Jagannath Katha, and he turned to one devotee and said, start kirtan. And then the devotee started kirtan, and then Maharaj left just like that. He just left his body. So that would be an ideal situation to leave, right? So since we don't know when we're going to leave our body, the idea is that all our energy should be engaged in Krishna's service. That way the time factor becomes our friend. It doesn't become an enemy. Because we're anyway absorbed in Krishna's glories, our consciousness is fixed on Krishna. So time is just helping us move us to the goal of our life. So it becomes a well-wishing friend and not an enemy. But for those who are not engaged, time is helping to move them to their next body. So therefore, Bhagavatam says time cannot steal away the life of a devotee because his consciousness is fixed on Krishna. So that time factor, which would normally act as an enemy, acts as a friend. Another idea that's presented in this analogy is that it is explained there that just as a person who gives wealth to a non-brahmana who's posing as a brahmana, if he gives charity to a non-brahmana who's posing as a brahmana, then that wealth is returned exactly the same amount. If he gives wealth to a properly qualified brahmana, that wealth is returned double. And if he gives that wealth to a self-realized Vaishnav, I think is how Prabhupada uses it there, then that wealth is returned unlimitedly. So the idea of this analogy is that when he gives charity, it looks like he's losing wealth, but actually it's being returned 100-fold, at least 100%, if not with, you know, how you say, with interest, with added something. So in the same way, those who dedicate their time to a Christian service, they're actually not losing their life, they're actually being returned with interest in the form of immortal life, immortality. So sometimes, in other words, people may think, just like if someone gives money to a devotee, people sometimes think, well, what's the use of giving money to devotees? They sometimes may think like that. And they're not doing anything with their time. They're just wasting their time sitting and hearing. If they were to come and see what we're doing, having a class on Bhagavatam, they feel that is a very impractical use of time. Even though they do all types of things, like partying, all these things throughout the night, they say this is a very impractical use of time. But even if it looks like a waste of time for the ordinary vision, what we're getting back in return is 100-fold, at least. Well, you get more. If you're really Krishna conscious, you get eternal life. So then saying, so therefore, dedicate your life to hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's the idea. Another idea that's presented in this regard is that, well, why do we see that devotees' bodies become old and infirm and feeble and so on if they're not affected by time? So then our acharyas mentioned that the reason for that is that it creates impetus in the devotee to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. So that is why that is happening to the devotee. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur particularly says that it is true, actually the devotee is not under time. The reason it appears that is the body is going through those conditions like an ordinary conditioned soul is because Krishna wants to create impetus. So just like when the conditioned souls, they are priya yoshitam, they have sense gratification is very dear to them. So then the conditions of birth, death, disease, and old age are very miserable for them. But for the devotees who are not into sense gratification, the condition of birth, death, disease, and old age create a spiritual impetus. Therefore, Krishna says that perception of the evil of birth, death, disease, and old age is important for sadhakas. They have to really understand that because that creates spiritual impetus. When you look at the activities next to death, what is the use of anything that anyone is doing? Just like sometimes people say, why are you worshiping Krishna? You're wasting your time. So we can ask them the same question. Why are you, you know, doing school? You're wasting your time. Because what is the result of both? Death. That is the result of both activities. So you're just wasting your time in this way, I'm wasting my time in that way. Why are you finding fault with me? And I used to argue like this with students at DePaul University. They said, you're wasting your time. I said, well, I'm wasting my time this way, you waste your time that way. Going to school, how is that useful? Because both will ultimately culminate in death. So for devotees, the perception of death creates stronger spiritual impetus to get serious about their lives. So there needs to be perception of the evil of death that is crushing everything in our life. So in that way, our acharyas explained that the conditions happening to a devotee who surrender, that creates stronger resolve to attain the lotus feet of Krishna and come out of the material world. So in this way, time factor works as a beloved friend. But for those who remain distracted by the Gandharva Nagara, then time is a very great enemy, very hard to fight. So these are some ideas that I was able to perceive here. Are there any comments or questions?
During your presentation, I was thinking the prescription for how to get out of the material world is so simple. In one sense, you know, you hear, you chant, you associate with devotees. And then I was reminded of what Prabhupada said one time, that this Krishna consciousness is so simple, you'll miss it. And so I was thinking, although the time factor does not apply on the devotees, like it's being pointed out in the purport, there is something else that is applying, even on devotees. And so I was wondering, what does that statement mean? It's so simple, you'll miss it. What is it that we'll miss? Even though the prescription seems so straightforward and so right there in front of us.
What is it that we're missing?
Prabhupada said, this Krishna consciousness is so simple, you'll miss it. So my question is, what does that mean? Why did he say that? It seems like the prescription is very simple and straightforward. Here, chant, be with devotees.
We have no Shraddha. That is the main problem. Krishna consciousness proceeds on the strength of pure devotional Shraddha. So unless someone has Shraddha, then Shraddha means that which you actually value. And something that you actually value, you act upon that. So someone can believe in Krishna, but their faith may be fixed in sense gratification. So they act upon sense gratification. That means they don't have any Shraddha in Krishna and the process of Krishna consciousness. Although they may believe it. Everyone, I believe in Krishna. Like how many Hindus we meet is, I believe in Krishna. But if you ask them to support the community by simply coming to the programs and hearing and chanting, they will not do that. Why? Because I'm so busy with the Gandharva Nagara over here. So I don't have time for all those things. So our Shraddha is actually easily perceived by the activities that we're actually performing in a lot of ways. And even then, with devotees, we may be doing the rituals of Krishna consciousness, but if we're not renouncing the material sense gratification, means that we may also be rising early, chanting rounds, and coming to the programs, and etc. And then when I go back to my house or into my room, you know, I'm on the computer for hours together, Facebooking and surfing the internet, watching movies on my 95-inch plasma television on the wall. When I need doing a little ping pong and pool downstairs in the living room, in the basement area, and I have a whole section of my house filled with very beautiful, expensive china, and so that when the devotees come for the home program, you got to put an X over it so that no devotee enters in there and disturbs the thing. That means you're really probably lacking a lot of pure devotional shraddha. Means, in other words, without renouncing the material demeanor that is goading us to try to enjoy the material world, then we can never get the transcendental faith. So then, without the transcendental faith, we won't be actually valuing the very simple program of hearing and chanting and associating, because it just seems too easy. You know, there would be so many other practical things we could take up than that simple program. So the reason we miss it, even though we see it, we hear about it, we even go jai in the programs and we clap and all these things. But the fact of the matter is that without having shraddha in the actual execution of the process of Krishna consciousness, then all such things are just so much pretense, basically. It's just so much pretense. So it is essential, the most important duty of a neophyte devotee is to engender real faith. Real faith is not so easy, because just like we have an issue and we come to our mentors or our spiritual master and so on, and if they tell us a solution, chant Hare Krishna, most of us may not be so satisfied with that answer. We're like, okay, yeah, I got that, but what are some other things that you can tell me? And then I said, okay, well, follow nectar of instruction 1 through 7, you know. Okay, yeah, I got that one too, but what are some other things you can tell me? Well, read this book by Stephen Covey. Ah, excellent. That was a very good idea, you know. It's like if you quote Narada Muni, everyone's got a problem with it, you know. Narada Muni, what does Narada Muni know? He's just the head of our disciple succession. You know, they know the spiritual, but what about the material aspect? This statement is made a lot. That Srila Prabhupada, he knew about the spiritual. Like, we give him that. We give him that credit. He knew about the spiritual. But when it comes to practical life, Prabhupada didn't know much about that. So we got to go to all these other persons for the practical aspect of our lives. That means no faith. This is the point. We have no shraddha. So then when Srila Prabhupada gives a solution, the spiritual master gives a solution, not satisfied. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta says, you know this very famous verse, Tasmat Gurum Prapadyeta Jignasu Shaya Uttamam. You know this verse, you know, that who deserves a guru, Prabhupada says? Who needs a guru? Those who are jignasu shreya uttamam. Before this verse is quoted, Bhaktisiddhanta, in the previous purport, it's there in our 11th canto, he makes the point that unless we gain the conviction, which means shraddha, that nothing can be gained from this material world, either on the earth planet or in the heavenly regions, then we will not be able to hear from the spiritual master with real faith. Just like Mother Kunti is praying, Jamashraya Shruta Shribir, Edamana Madapuman, Naiva, what is that? Naiva Hart Dabidatumvai. Naiva Hart Dabidatumvai, Toma Kinchana Gochana. He said, my dear Krishna, you are the property of the Akinchana devotee, devotee who is not having any material possessions. And that also means he may have material possessions, but not desiring to exploit them for his own sense gratification. You are the property of that devotee. Others who are Janmaishraya Shruta Shribir, Edamana Madapuman, they're intoxicated by their aristocratic birth and their opulence, their wealth, their money, their education, even their knowledge of the Vedas and so on, and their beauty. They may also chant your holy names, but they cannot do so feelingly. You know, and Prabhupada gives a very beautiful purport there. So they mean they also chanting, but they cannot do so feelingly. Why they cannot do so feelingly? Because they have faith that these other things can give me shelter. My beauty will give me shelter. My money will give me shelter. My education will give me shelter. So to get the real faith, the transcendental faith, paramartiki, shraddha, then there's a necessity to break our faith in matter. Unless we realize the calamity of the material world, then we will not be able to hear properly. Means that, so therefore you see, that especially the first 9 cantos of Bhagavatam is dealing with so much with breaking our conviction in the material world. Probably every teaching comes up speaking some criticism about the material world, because they want us to gain conviction of the calamity of material life, without which you cannot actually hear. So here's a simple solution, chant Hare Krishna, follow the instructions of our acharyas, associate with the devotees, take only prasadam. That's good on the spiritual. Yeah, that makes sense on the spirit. But now what about on this side? What do I have to do? They don't realize that if the devotee, he is understanding substance. Shadow depends on substance. So if he understands substance, then he understands shadow automatically. There's no need for him to go into the details of shadow. He understands the actual substantial reality. So then getting the real, so how is faith gained? It's gained by service to Vaishnavas. Shushu sho shodadana sha vasudeva kataruchi. As explained by in that verse, the first stage is getting the association of devotees, getting their mercy. And the second stage is to start rendering some service to them. And then it's described by serving devotees humbly, properly. Then generated from that service is faith. Especially when you see their qualities, you see how they interact with one another, you see their detachment from matter and how it's produced all those good qualities and such. Then one begins to have shraddha, just like Narada Muni. He was serving those Bhaktivedantas. And then by serving them, he started to get faith. Like, what is it that they're relishing? They're always speaking Krishna Katha. They're like really into it. And he wanted to know what it was that they were experiencing. So without rendering the service, hearing is included. Hearing properly, hearing with proper regard, then one cannot get the transcendental faith. And without the transcendental faith, the simple solution is just not a solution. When you don't have transcendental faith, it is not, it's not practical. Just like there's Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Iva Kevalam verse. So, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatera Nyata. So there, Kaviraj Goswami is saying, why repeat it three times? Just to make us understand, just so we will understand how important it is. Hare Nama is mentioned three times to make us understand. Why? We're all foolish. We like, Hare Nama, Hare, but what else? Is there anything else available? I mean, I'm doing my 16 rounds. I mean, I got that covered, but is there anything practical, Prabhu? Anything practical going on? Just like we have to try to solve our various issues in Krishna consciousness, and we usually look for any solution but, you know, the chanting and hearing together. We'll try anything else. We'll try duking it out. That doesn't work usually. Okay, that didn't work. Let's try some other approach. Let's talk about it. Okay, you shouldn't have did this to me. Well, you shouldn't have did this to me, and then, you know, back to this again. We try every other solution, but the actual solution of Krishna conscious process, hearing and chanting together. That's the actual solution. Parasparam anukatanam pavanam bhagavat yasha mito ratir mito tushtir nivritir mito atmana. That, you know, devotees should learn how to love one another. This is what the verse says. How? By coming together and chanting the glories of Krishna. Instead of envying one another, they would do very well to come together and chant the glories of the Lord together. Bhagavat yasha, pavanam, that is most purifying. And what is the result of doing that? Mito vritir, they gain attraction to each other. They get attracted. Oh, you're not so bad after all. And then that's the first stage. And then the first installment is like, wow, you're actually kind of good. And then the next stage is like, wow, you're wonderful because you're a devotee of Krishna. Mito ritir, mito tushti. And they feel satisfied by that relationship. Where at first it was just a miserable thing, you know, okay, somehow they tolerate. You know, but then tushti, they get satisfaction from such association. And then it mentions nivriti mito atmanaha. And they nourish each other's mutual detachment from matter. And the purport is described, oh, you've given up sense gratification? From today, I'll also give it up. Seeing that, you get more and more encouragement. So that is the actual solution to all the problems. You know, in the future, when our spiritual masters depart back to the spiritual reality, now you have all these disciples with their different gurus, and their gurus have their different emphasis. And, you know, it's going to be war. It's going to be war. There's no doubt about it. You know, I asked my spiritual master about it, too, and I got chastised for asking that question because it was heavy. But it's a fact. It will be war unless the devotees, especially those who will take up leadership in ISKCON, they can see the superlative value in just hearing and chanting together. You know, let devotees do their thing. You know, they're in that place, let them preach the way they're going to preach. You know, you cannot control that. You know, you cannot try to like, Lord, you should preach like this. Prabhupada said so many things. Let them have their autonomy in preaching. But then come together and hear and chant, hear from one another, hear each other's realizations, and gain appreciation through that process. Serve one another instead of having, you know, you're big, you know, whatever, GBC, guru, whatever you are, and you have all your millions of chelas coming and serving you, instead of all the leaders can come together, they can serve each other. And that way, gain attraction for another. Mitoriti. This is the process. Come and do the Sankirtan together. Come and hear the Bhagavad Gita class together. Otherwise, this is going to be all-out war. But if we try to serve Krishna together, Lord Chaitanya will be pleased by that. He will remove all the impediments. You know, the enviousness that will come from, oh, why is he doing like that and doing like that? No, let him do his thing. You know, if he's doing something impure, Krishna will correct it. You know, unless you have some service like that, you're the corrector of everything, you know. The transcendental corrector, you know, I'm going to go and correct the situation. Unless you have that service, then okay, we understand, you're the corrector. But if you're not the corrector, then let them do their thing. Krishna will take care. And our business is how to hear and chant together. Then problems will be solved. But problem is, there's no faith. There's no Shraddha that this can actually be successful. So therefore, let's have big meetings and spend all our time trying to deal with the issue directly without any faith in the actual process of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, as neophyte devotees, we should know that our most important service to ourselves is really breaking our attachment to matter, you know, breaking our conviction that matter is going to give us shelter, that the Gandharva Nagara is going to give us shelter, and gaining faith in the real process of Krishna consciousness. That the actual solution to my problem is chanting Hare Nam, is hearing and serving with the devotees together. Then the simple thing sounds perfect. You know, every question can be answered very easily, you know, when there's transcendental faith. Therefore, you see in the Bhagavatam, all these personalities, they have faith. So then when they have a doubt, the question, the answer comes, they are able to accept it because they have the faith. It's not that they, of course, they put forth their questions when there are doubts, but they have the faith. So then it's easy for them to digest. But without the faith, you cannot digest any of the actual solutions. Therefore, adau shraddha. Therefore, sadhu sangha. Why sadhu sangha? For increasing shraddha. Therefore, bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya for what? For increasing shraddha. Anarjana vritti. Why anarjana vritti? To move the impediments to shraddha. Then fix faith. Then taste that arises from being faithful. Then attachment to Krishna. All these stages are based on faith. So this Shraddha topic is so important. It is not just like belief. Just because I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I have Shraddha. That doesn't mean you have the real Shraddha. Shraddha Abbas, semblance of Shraddha. Because you're not renounced the material conviction. Anyway, so that's my understanding why we don't accept a simple solution. No faith. Very hard to get it. Oh, just in your room.
To the degree in which a person is freed from sinful activity, to that degree he can surrender to Guru and Krishna.
Yeah, yesham tata katam papam jalanam punyakarmanam. How we get free from sinful activity? By having faith that this process works. Cheto darpana marjanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. Then the sins will go dissipate. But no faith means no taking it up seriously. It means the sins will sit there. Dust. Ali. Anyone else wants to ask anything or comment on anything, mention anything? No?
Or by just executing the process?
Yeah, executing the process. Execution depends on faith. Faith is like the fuel in the car, you know, and the fuel will drive you on. If you have no fuel, how far you can go? And if you have a lot of fuel, then you can go really far. So then to the degree our faith is there, that's going to determine how far we're going to go in our surrendering to Krishna. Just like we have a little faith, so we started chanting. But we don't have enough faith to, let's say, for example, take up a spiritual master. This happens a lot of times with many persons. They claim to have faith in Krishna and all these things. So they'll start chanting. Sometimes they'll be chanting for 20 years, but they won't accept a spiritual master. So your amount of faith is going to determine how far you can go. How far you can go. It's like fuel in the car. So the faith leads to the execution. The execution leads to the dissipation of our anarthas. You wanted to say something else?
Hare Krishna. I was just appreciating what you were talking about, questions. You know, we've got all these questions, but we don't really have faith, so therefore we ask different questions, and the first answer that comes, we feel like that's insufficient. And it was reminding me of what Prabhupada, I don't remember where he was writing this, but even the birds are busy with questions and answers, simply questions, answers, questions.
1, 2, 5.
So there was that, and then also that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the last word. What is that? The final word. It's like after that, no more questions.
Yeah, so there's one question. What service you want me to do? That question is always, that's an eternal question. Ayi nanda tanujam ke kinkaram. Kinkaram means, what do you want me to do? Mm. Very hard question to ask in a conditioned life. O son of Nanda Maharaj, Ayi Nanda Tanujan, King Karan, what do you want me to do? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.